Hooray for off-season content. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an off-season edition of Scrambled Eggs. Doing it a little different this week, although I guess you couldn't tell the difference. But Phil, we're actually doing it in the same room for a change. This is a little different.
You're looking live. I always wanted to do the Brett Musburger. So.
Live on tape, anyway.
Yeah, live on tape, exactly. So,
Phil is visiting me in the beautiful state of Texas, where we are not buried under snow. But anyway, we figured this would be a great chance to have a little off-season podcast. And Phil, we sure have plenty to talk about, considering what's gone on.
Yeah.
Basically, since the Final Four and the National Championship was decided. I guess let's start breaking down the guys who are coming and going. And obviously, I mean, the big one to break down certainly is Vanderblue. Paint touches kind of broke the story. I mean, they did break the story. They didn't kind of break it. They broke it that he was going to go pro.
Right.
And it came out just earlier this week that Vanderblue was going to forego his senior year and enter the NBA draft. A lot of opinions, one side or the other. Good decision, bad decision. Personally, I'm kind of in the camp of I would not have recommended he go pro, but I get it from the perspective of weak draft this year, strong draft next year. Maybe he thinks he can fight his way onto an NBA roster right now. What are your thoughts about Vander going pro?
Well, I guess I understand it. I was a little surprised, actually. I kind of thought that it was going to be I thought he was going to stay. I did with the team we had coming back. But having him going, I guess I'm in the camp of I do think it makes a lot of sense for him to go now. We've seen in the couple of days since some other players are going. Some are staying. The couple of guys, George Thompson the third, or Glenn Robinson the third, and Mitch McGarry in Michigan are staying. So that
Gary Harris, Michigan State, and the big one that blew us all away was Marcus Smart returning to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you know, maybe it's just one slot up on the depth chart that Vanderblue slides up. I don't know if it's still enough to make him a first-rounder at this point. But, you know, somebody pointed out, yeah, the 2014 class is good, but it's not like 30-deep good where, I think if Vander were to have a strong senior season, a really good senior season like, say, Jay Crowder did or Jimmy Butler did, that I think he could have slid into the first round next year still. And, you know, as a highly respected, decorated, seasoned senior player, I think he could have still gotten in there maybe. But I think it would have been still tough, though. And so that's why I kind of understand why this year in a weaker draft, yeah, he's slotted up a few spots higher this year than he probably would be next year. Because he could be a better player a year from now and still be drafted lower next year than he would be this year.
Yeah, but the thing I keep coming back to is, if he comes back next year, is he going to be appreciably better than he is this year on the same team? I mean, yes, he can go further, but, you know, if they, with the talent they'll have on the team next year on the roster and the minutes they'll have, will he be able to generate, he may be a better team player, but will he individually be a better player next year?
Maybe.
And able to showcase those talents for scouts? Because quite honestly, if he comes back next year and the team doesn't go to at least the Elite Eight, it's viewed as a regression, whether it is or it isn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would. I don't know if I would go that far. Like, say, if he has a, you know, all if he were to have an All-American type season and then be one and done in the tournament, I think he would still be much more respected in the draft next year. I don't think people judge that much on the tournament, but at the same time, people do judge you based on a little tournament success, and I think he's actually counting on that for this year because, you know, the Syracuse game he struggled, but then again, so did everyone.
Right.
So I think the three games leading up to that, he certainly proved himself, and I think he's kind of riding that, say, hey, I can perform under pressure.
Right.
I think some of the biggest games Marquette had this season from individuals were Vanderblue in those three games in the tournament. I mean, he had some big shots, and he really came on strong, and, you know, while I disagree with his decision for the most part that I don't think he's quite NBA ready, I understand it, and I definitely wish him well. And I hope he's selected and goes to a team that he can make and contribute in some way.
Well, I think, I mean, you got to keep in mind, A, he's 20 years old. He's a young junior.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBA drafts on potential all the time. I mean, the entire second round is all about drafting potential Euros that they stock in Europe for 3 years until they mature. So
that's the thing that can work against them too. Is that if he doesn't go first round, let's all draft a bunch of European guys.
That's true. It's kind of first rounder bust for him, which I completely.
And that's kind
agree
of the way
with.
It was with McNeil and Matthews.
That's
and
true.
James too. Like once they didn't go first round, they were kind of screwed. But Matthews had one path where he was able to get a free agent deal and find the perfect situation.
Right. Well, and let's not pretend like the Matthews situation is the norm. Like
no, it's
that's
very rare.
That's definitely a strike against Vander's decision. Is Matthews' deal was just an amazing combination of circumstances that gave him a real positive. But yeah, you know, I think Vander will do well, and I think they draft. I mean, if you look at his year-to-year growth between his sophomore and his junior year, I mean, it was a year ago we were talking about, my God, how overrated is Vander?
Right.
And now we're talking about, why did he leave us a year early? You know, why couldn't we see his full potential? So, I mean, yes, he's barely a 30% three-point shooter, so he's got room to improve there. But his mid-range game was simply fantastic this year. I mean, there were some real dagger step-back jumpers that translate well in the NBA.
And he's always been able to defend at a very high level. Even as a freshman when he was hardly scoring at all, I think he was defending at maybe not an NBA level, but close to an NBA level. I think I think that's where a spot where he can at least make a name for himself in camp, in Vegas Summer League. And does it get him on a roster? I don't know. My gut tells me he's probably, even if he gets picked up by an NBA team, he's going to be a guy who spends a lot of time in the D League, because I think most NBA teams want him to be a point guard. Mm-hmm. Like NBA teams, you've made the comparison before, and I agree. He has a lot of similarities to Jarrell McNeil, really.
Right.
Not the jumper that Jarrell has,
right.
But as far as size and how he fits in the NBA and how defense is going to be a ticket for him, I think he has a lot of similarities to Jarrell. And Jarrell is a guy who's really had a tough time getting to the NBA, but he's been right there, and he finished the regular season on the Jazz roster.
Right.
I don't think he's ever seen a second of NBA action on the floor, but he's so close.
Well, I mean, if you go back to what goes into the decision, I mean, do we think if Vander came back next year, regardless of the rest of the folks in the draft, and let's say Vander had at least as good a season as he had now, is he going to get drafted any better or any worse?
No, I would say if his senior year mirrored his junior year, he would be basically the exact same draft stock,
right?
Because there would be so many good guys ahead of him. Because this class with Wiggins and Randall and the Harrison twins and Aaron Gordon is fantastic, and Jabari Parker, and they're all bumping everybody down a few slots. There are going to be a ton of one and duns next year.
Well, yeah. So let's be honest. Kentucky's second recruiting class next year is second only to their first recruiting class.
Yeah, the lottery next year will basically be Kentucky's entire roster.
Yes.
And Jabari Parker,
right.
Probably. So.
Right.
If he was the exact same player a year from now as he is right now, I would say he made the right decision.
Right.
But if he improves as much as a senior as he did between then I think we're talking about a lot, not a lottery pick, but maybe a first round pick.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. But that, I mean, when you go back and look at what a vast difference there was between last year and this year, I would never doubt Vander after this year, but can he get that big of a jump?
Right.
I mean,
it is a big jump, because then, like, the jumper, as much progress as he made on the jumper, it really is a next level that we're talking about to
right.
be an NBA player. Because he can't shoot nearly as well as Jerome McNeil can.
No.
Because Jerome McNeil is in the D League now, he's a top-flight scorer. I mean, he scores, like, 28 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Vander, as much as his jumper has improved, and it's much better than it was a year ago, he's still at not that type of level. And I think, for me to say Vander is an NBA player, I would like to see his jumper to be at where a guy like Jarrell McNeil is.
Right.
Jumper-wise. And then I think everything else is kind of falling into place. And maybe he could probably develop some point guard skills, and I think that's why if an NBA team takes a chance on him, he's going to spend a lot of time in the D League next year. Say, look, we need you to develop as a point guard.
Well, that's absolutely right, because I think that's where Vander's going to have a niche, is as we compare him to Jarrell, Vander's handle is much better than Jarrell's.
Yeah.
Jarrell's a better shooter. Vander's a better ball handler. So he can transition to point guard, whereas Jarrell was always kind of stuck in that underside two-guard role. And I think Vander can transition. And, again, this is where I think the NBA – drafts on potential. You know, we were at that summer league two summers ago when Vander kind of opened our eyes a little bit with some of the passes he was making and some of the vision he had from time to time. So I think if he's going to have real good success in the NBA, it's going to be as a point guard.
Right.
But I don't think he's necessarily going to be drafted in the first round either. I just don't think he was going to be drafted in the first round next year
either. Probably not. And I think it'll be a stretch for him. To be maybe, well, I would say as guys keep dropping out of the draft now, I'd say he maybe have a decent shot to be a second round pick now.
Yeah.
And I think maybe his theory, like, and it may be the right theory, maybe be the right philosophy, is if he can fight his way onto a roster now and get to a point where an NBA team says, okay, we've drafted this guy already, we've invested in him, we're going to find a spot for him next year, even if it's in the D League. Whereas opposed to next year, if he tries to make it in the same situation, there'll be guys ahead of him say, look, we've already invested some of these guys ahead of you, we just don't have a spot for you. So he
Right.
wants to find a spot, whether it's on an NBA roster or in the kind of on a D League roster where he's kind of gotten, you know, a target on his back, or like, you know, teams are watching him, say, all right, this is a guy we're going to keep an eye on in the D League. Kind of has teams have kind of kept an eye on guys like Jarrell McNeil, and Lazar Hayward actually had a decent D League season this year.
Right.
He finished it injured, but he did, you know, he was you know, the Lakers did sign him at the not the the Lakers signed him to the LA Defenders as a guy who can maybe join the team, but he never actually made it to the NBA, back to the NBA this year.
I keep looking at it from a business perspective. If the odds are against him that he's going to make a big jump next year, then you go this year and grab the money. And I get that. I mean, I by no means do I wish him ill will. I mean, I love him being on the team. He's really matured. He had a great season, and that's fantastic. But, you know, he's got to make the decision. I mean, because you got to look at the reality of his situation. I mean, he's coming from a single parent family, and you know, he's got to go make a living at some point.
Yeah, selfishly as fans, we always want everybody to stay
Right.
4 years and
Right.
to, for our college teams to be as
Right.
great as they
I was
possibly
throwing
can.
beer around Murphy's when Wade announced he was going pro.
Yeah.
So you know, I've matured in my old age and be a
You
little more restrained with Vander's announcement.
think Wade made the right decision?
Jury's out.
I
We'll see.
yeah, definitely a different situation. But as I said earlier this week, I was blogging about Marcus Smart. As you know, for a guy like him, I always encourage guys to go pro when they're projected as a lottery pick. Vander, I would say maybe stick around. But if he makes an NBA roster, and I hope he does, then he probably made the right call. So, you
Right.
know, we're pulling for him. Although
Right.
we hope, selfishly, we want Vander to stick around and help Marquette get to a Final Four. I guess Marquette's going to have to do without him.
Well, and you know, other than my wanting him to perform really well just for the sake of him, you know, as a human being wanting to support another Marquette, you know, a Marquette associate, if you will. The other thing is his success in the NBA really helps Marquette in terms of recruiting, that Buzz can go out and say, hey, look at all these people we're putting in the NBA. So that's what I'm angsty about, is for him to be successful and be an NBA player, so Buzz can put yet another feather in his cap. Look where
Yeah.
Vander was, and we put him in the NBA.
Yeah. NBA, when a regular season ended, Marquette had six players in the NBA by my count. That'd be Wade, Novak, Matthews, Crowder, Butler, and Jarrell McNeil was on the Jazz roster. So
Right.
that's six guys. And then you know, we'll see if we can get up to seven or eight next year if, you know,
Vander and
if or
Czar.
in DJO, if they, you know,
Yeah.
if he comes back from Russia and tries to make a squad. So I guess we'll see what happens there. Now, as far as before we move on to more comings and goings, I would say, you know, as much as it does, you know, it stinks to lose Vander from Marquette's perspective, I think his production is probably more replaceable than some people think if certain guys step up. And the number one guy on that list, if he steps up, is Todd Mayo.
Absolutely.
If Todd Mayo has a junior season that is more in the, like reflective of his freshman year, because when he
Right.
was playing as a freshman, obviously he didn't have a starting spot at the time because guys like Cadugan and Blue and DJO were all ahead of him, so he obviously wasn't starting. He was coming off the bench, but he was playing pretty well off the bench. And
But he was
people,
also getting significant
yeah,
minutes.
and as a sophomore, of course, he had the academic situation which cost him the first semester of both not just playing but practicing,
Right.
and then he never really caught up in the second half. Now with a full off season of conditioning, hopefully he gets his academics straight and he's good to go there. If Todd Mayo can improve, I think he could really replace a lot of the production Marquette is going to lose with Vander Blue.
Well, I completely agree with that from the standpoint of, I personally think, and this is my junior psychologist kit on, that Todd Mayo's issues were kind of mental on the court. You know, his head wasn't there. And I think it's likely, assuming he sticks around and keeps the academics going, it's likely he's going to get significantly more minutes. And I think that maybe changes his perspective on things. You know, instead of getting spot minutes, because let's be honest, Vander earned 33 minutes a game. That you could not take Vander off the court, and it's very difficult to play junior Vander and Mayo all at the same time. So Mayo, there was a dearth of minutes to go around for Mayo.
And can't overstate missing 2 months of practice, because they're almost
Oh,
2 months. Because, if you've
he
ever
missed
worked,
boot camp, right?
no, I think his suspension popped up just before the opener
Oh,
against
okay.
against Ohio State. That never happened.
Right.
But so I think he maybe went through boot camp. But beyond that, he missed almost 2 months of practice. That's a big deal. If you've ever worked out by yourself and then worked with a personal trainer, it's a big difference as far as you saying, "All right, I'm good for the day," and then the personal trainer saying, "Nope, you're not done for the day. You get back out there and you do it again." And I think that could be a great benefit to Todd Mayo, and everyone really, but especially Mayo, to go through a full offseason and a full, preseason of practices. And if things are right, I think he could step in and possibly be. Maybe be a starter at the two next year to replace Vander, because we've seen Mayo at his best, and when he's really good, he offers everything Vander Blue does. He really did.
Well, and the other thing in Mayo is part of this, but the other thing in when you look at Vander and saying, okay, Vander, go ahead, there's a lot of weapons that Marquette has next year, and we're not even talking about the players coming in. I mean, Mayo can do a lot, at least defensively, certainly a better 3-point shooter usually, or it seems like. Maybe can't slash as well as Vander, but the front line next year with Gardner and Devontae and Steve Taylor and all those
I'll
folks,
tell you.
there's going to be a lot of weapons down low. There's going to be a lot of focus taken off Vander, potentially. So the question is, would Vander be putting up the same stats again? Which is again why partially why I'm okay with Vander going. I think we've got enough there with Mayo and then the front line to sustain ourselves.
Yep. And as Jameel Wilson continues to improve, it could be more of a score. Gardner will be solid, and we'll see how all these freshmen are coming in. How much the, you know, Dwayne Wilson and Juwan Johnson have both have reputations of being scorers. Dwayne Wilson may be more of a facilitator, but he can definitely score.
And he can shoot.
Yeah, and he definitely. We'll see if the outside shot. You never know how that outside shot. I don't know. Maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe it's the intensity of the defenses. But sometimes those outside shots don't translate from high school to college all the time. But we'll just hope they do, because I think you'll see a lot of early contributions from those freshmen, Dwayne Wilson and Juwan Johnson, as we kind of get
And you got
off.
Deontay Burton.
And Burton coming in, I
And
think
there's minutes.
there's minutes available there as we kind of get back on topic here of the comings and goings. We'll start with some of the goings. And the how about one guy who was going and now he's coming right back? And we'll address this briefly, but Jake Thomas said he was transferring.
Yes.
And at the time, I thought,
Was transferred for 4 days.
it transferred 4 days. It's like, you know what? I'm coming right back. And it's good to have him back. And the situation just worked out for him, because when, as anyone who follows Marquette knows, Jake came to Marquette as a walk-on, was never planned to be on scholarship, and it just worked out. 2 years ago, there was a scholarship available. I think it was because Eric Williams
Yes,
transferred. I think that was the one
there it
that was
was.
available. This past year is because TJ Taylor bailed out at the last minute. So, instead of letting the scholarship go to waste, Buzz, Jake, all right, here's another scholarship for you. And they knew there was not going to be a scholarship for his senior season, so he decided to transfer and maybe get some more minutes. And then all these guys departed, which we'll get to in a second. And then so Jake looks at it, and I don't know what the conversation was, obviously, but he did look at other options reportedly to transfer to, but now he ultimately has a chance to have a scholarship one more year with Marquette, and so now he's back. I don't expect him to play very much. I think
No.
his minutes will be very similar next year
It
to
depends
what.
on how many 4-point plays he has.
Yeah, if the 3-point shooting it struggles as much next year as it did this past year, maybe Jake could earn some minutes. But for the most part, I don't expect Jake Thomas to see many minutes. But that's not to say he hasn't earned his scholarship, because obviously Buzz speaks highly of him as the way he practices and what he brings to the team. That's why he saw as many minutes as he did in the NCAA tournament and in the big in the win over Syracuse. Even if his minutes or his production in games doesn't, wow Marquette fans, obviously Buzz wants him around, otherwise he wouldn't have offered him to come back.
Well, I am a little confused, and we off air, if you will, we talked about this briefly. I'm a little confused. The Vander thing must not have been decided because Jake announced he was transferred. 4 days later, Vander's like, I'm going to the NBA. And then a day later, it's, oh, Jake, never mind. Come on
Yeah,
back.
it definitely comes off like this. Jake says, "I'm out. Sorry, guys. I need to find somewhere else to go." Day later, "Oh, hey, that scholarship, you guys not using that? Well, I'll take it." And, maybe that's just the way it comes off. Obviously, hopefully it's not the way it actually went down, but that's just the way it comes off.
Well, it does absolutely come off that way. But he's back. He's a good body in practice. I mean, his shooting, I think that he suffers from the expectation leveling that gets done around Marquette program, where somebody throws out wild positive spin around Jake Thomas can hit shots from half court with consistency. And so everyone was going, all right, we got our shooter.
What I like to call the practice legend.
Right, exactly. So everyone's going, oh, we got our shooter. We've been missing a shooter. He comes in and clangs a couple of threes, and immediately everyone turns on him.
In Jake's defense, I think to be a shooter at the college level, it helps to be in rhythm and play
Yes.
25,
Yeah, he's
30
got to
minutes a
be
game.
consistent.
And he'll never get 25 or 30 minutes a game at Marquette. So
No.
for him to play 4 or 5 minutes, it's like a pinch hitter in baseball. You only get really one or two shots at it, and you've got to deliver. And maybe that's why his shooting hasn't been as great as, say, when it was at, he was at South Dakota or North
Yes.
Dakota State.
No, I can't. He was at a
He was
Dakota.
at a summer league team.
Yeah, we should pretty much just make those states one state and end all the confusion.
So, again, hopefully he contributes. If not, I'm sure he'll do well in practice. And he knows Buzz's system, what he expects. And it'll be, from that perspective, it'll be good to have him back. So Jake Thomas is back. One guy who was out and not terribly surprising is Jamal Ferguson announced that he was transferring. This is a guy who obviously, you can't rotate 12 or 13 guys on the team. And so he was kind of the 12th man this year, didn't get many minutes, not because he didn't work hard enough. He was just buried on the depth chart
Right.
and he wasn't really moving up next year. So certainly can understand if he wants to play somewhere else.
Yeah, well, and he had a lot of he had the roughly 6 minutes we saw him all season. He had a solid. He looked athletic, looked like he had talent. I didn't want him to transfer. I would love to. It's not a situation where we're kind of going, yeah, that probably works out best. But didn't want him to transfer. I think he could have done some things, contributed as a junior or senior. But if you're looking for minutes next year, I mean, with the talent we have coming in, the talent that's still going to be on the roster, it was minutes were going to be hard to come by. So I get it. I get the transfer. He wants to get some minutes, and good luck to him. I wish he made a different decision, but I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much more to say about Jamal Ferguson. Like I said, you're talking about the 12th man on the roster. So good luck to him wherever he ends up. We'll keep
Right.
an eye on him just like we do Eric Williams and Jamal Jones and others that have departed and
Well,
gone
yeah,
to.
look what Jamal Jones did at Florida Gulf Coast.
Well, he practiced with them. He didn't get to play this year, but he gets at least to hang out with Dunk City last year. Though I guess we'll see how he does next year with Dunk City. The other guy who transferred, and this one was a bit of a surprise to me, and I've actually talked about this in the past off broadcast with you, is that about Juan Anderson, about, of course, he's transferring. I talked about it, what I've said to you before, is it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if he transferred just because he hardly played, but I really liked his game, and I'm actually, as again, speaking selfishly as a fan, wanting my team to be as good as possible, I actually really wanted Juan to stick around for 2 more years, because I think with more minutes, and I think a couple more years in the system, he was going to develop into a really nice player.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things I'll miss is Steve the Homer's true nickname for him, the Skinny Sheriff. But I think I this is one this is the one that I think I'm the most maybe upset is the right word or the most disappointed in,
Yeah, a
because
little bummed.
a little bummed. Like Vander, I get. Jamal, I get. Juan, it sounds like maybe he wants to move closer to home. I don't know, but he had a lot of intangibles. He was kind of behind the power curve a little bit because his freshman year he had injuries and suspension and that sort of thing. But I do think that he had a lot of capability, a lot, and I loved his enthusiasm. He was a high energy guy. He worked hard all the time. He could rebound. He showed glimmers even in the tournament. There was a couple of times he got swatted, but he started to get aggressive, going to the rack, take some shots. I think he really his senior year, I think he would have put I don't think we're talking Juan Anderson in the NBA, but I
No.
think he would have been a very solid college player. I loved his enthusiasm, and he seemed like your typical Marquette player. Kind of the warrior built to hustle, and is going to go out and win a game any way he can.
Yeah, and that's what I think he touched on really all the things I like about Juan Anderson. And if he wanted to pull a Jake Thomas and do an about face here in the next couple of weeks and say, you know what, I think I'll stick around, I would be all for that because I liked his game. Granted, we didn't see much of him. He only seemed like he only played like between 8 and 12 minutes a game at the
Right.
most. But he brought energy. I don't think he was lost out there. Maybe if he was knocked around because he was kind of, he is kind of skinny, but maybe he suffered a little bit there. But and he didn't score much because he didn't get a chance to score much because normally it's Vanderbilt or it's going to Devontae Gardner. There weren't many plays necessarily drawn up for Juan Anderson to score.
Right.
But I think he did what Buzz asked him to do, and he earned his spot in practice. And you know, the really big bonus was him is the what they call the pseudo starting, or what I like to call the Eric Williams start, where he only plays a few minutes and just really is there to protect guys who were in a lot of foul trouble. And he did that for Jameel Wilson.
Right.
And now, so Jameel Wilson will probably be starting next year, I would guess, unless there's another kind of pseudo starting situation. But yeah, and I really thought Juan was going to take a big step forward in the next 2 years as he one bulked up. He's only going to get bigger and
right.
add some muscle. And, you know, he showed some confidence shooting the three. Maybe didn't work out as much, but he wasn't afraid to at least take those big shots.
Yeah, well, and he could take that trailer three becoming sort of a it was started with Czar and is kind of becoming a signature move for Marquette.
Yeah.
You know, Jamil's kind of taken up that mantle now. Yeah, I think he was kind of one of those guys that you look at the program and you could build a program and define around it. He's gonna do the hard work. You know, you're not all going to be superstars. So I was disappointed. I know my buddy John that we have season tickets with. Brief shout out to him. He's going to be disappointed. He was Juan's favorite, or Juan was his favorite player, and was rave about him all the time. So again, you don't know what's going on inside of this. I guess I was just surprised. He always seemed so excited.
Yeah, he
seemed
real proud to be a Marquette Golden Eagle. He loved the program, and you know. I guess we all follow the guys on Twitter. I guess they're all still friends, but I guess it's the best situation for him. He says, you know, it's a family situation, so I'll just take him at his word. He just wants, you know, it's a long way from Oakland.
Yeah,
where he is. So if he's getting sick of the cold, I can certainly understand that. As I sit here in Texas where it's a warm 70 degrees.
Right, where it's currently snowing in Milwaukee tonight, I've been told.
But, you know, I understand if he just wants to be close to home, and he'll probably get more minutes at a place like wherever he's going to go. I guess Oregon is one of the rumors. Or,
is it?
Yeah, or, you know, I think that, you know, somewhere out west, I guess he'll probably end up at a Pac-12 school or somewhere out west. So wherever he ends up, good luck to him. And like I said, if he turns out to do a Jake Thomas and do something with that last scholarship.
Heck, we'll even kick Jake Thomas off. That's kind of mean, but. Seriously, I think about it.
There is an available scholarship there I guess that's kind of another thing we could talk about is, you know, where does Marquette go from here? And we may not know this for several weeks, into the summer, what Buzz is going to do with that last scholarship, because he had two available and he's given one to Jake, and I'm fine with him giving that scholarship to Jake because you're really not really losing it at all, because Buzz wasn't going to sign two guys just for the sake of signing them, you know, just to sign a couple two-star or three-star guys that really don't fit the system just for the sake of signing a guy. If there's a guy out there that Buzz thinks can help this team next year or the year after, he'll sign them. But with two available this late in the game, he was definitely going to bank one for 2014 anyway.
Right.
And giving it to Jake is the same as banking it for 2014 because Jake is graduating, and so the scholarship's available for next year.
Right.
The question is he going to bank this other scholarship that is still available for 2013-14 season, or is there a transfer out there that kind of makes sense?
Right. Well, the thing that I look at it as, you know, if you're looking at from a roster standpoint, and we'll do the next part of the podcast we do, we'll probably go over the roster for next year. So I don't want to delve too far into that. But if you look at it just holistically as an overview, there's a lot of talent and not a lot of minutes to spread around.
Mm-hmm.
So this last scholarship, I don't know that you're giving it to anyone that's going to play next year.
Right.
I think what I would think is he's looking for a sophomore transfer.
Right.
You know, someone like Juan, but from a different school to bring in that can be a 2-year player, balance out the classes, and you know, get a body for practice for next season and see where it goes.
Yeah, like when some of the transfers were starting to be announced, and this was before we knew that Otule was coming back. And that's something we haven't talked about. We'll get to Otule in a second here. One name that I threw out there was Tariq Black, who's a Memphis player. I guess I think he's available to play next year.
I don't know the story behind why he's able to play next year, but he is.
Yeah, but anyway, I said before I knew Otule was coming back, I said Tariq Black might be a fit for Marquette because he was strongly considering Marquette before he committed to Memphis. And if Otule didn't want his 6th year, I'd say, well, it's a fit. There would be some room in the front court because I don't know how well Jameel McKay could play the 5 when Devontae Gardner needs to be spelled. I think Tariq Black could probably do that. But now that Otule is back, I'm not sure there's many minutes available for Tariq Black. And I think he's going to be much better suited at some of these other schools that are rumored to be after him, like Kansas and Duke and whoever, Illinois, whoever else is after him.
Well, I don't think you bring – with Otule back, which we definitely, or excuse me, Dr. Otule, when we talked about that. But I think front court wise, if you're bringing someone in for the front court, it's definitely got to be someone that's sitting out a year.
Right.
Because again, I'm one of the biggest advocates of the free Steve Taylor campaign. So you got to get him minutes at probably the three or the four. Devontae and Otule have to get their minutes. I mean, they're seniors. They're going to have to get their minutes. Jameel McKay is coming in, and by all accounts, he's a rebounding machine. That's a lot of minutes there. Plus, I have no idea about Tarik Black, but if from a personality standpoint, but that's an unplanned for kind of sudden thing you're throwing in there.
Right.
What are you going to do from a clubhouse
Yeah, the thing
perspective?
is, when I first threw Tarik Black out there, I heard it from a few fans on Twitter saying, well, the way the recruitment kind of ended, and this is all just kind of hearsay on the message boards that I won't delve into. Bottom line, I guess there were people that were very shocked that he kind of backed out of Marquette, or not backed out, but kind of he had Marquette high on his list, and then shockingly out of nowhere he committed to Memphis, and that was kind of the end of it. So I'm not saying bridges were burned, but most people said, I don't think Tarik Black is a fit. And that was before we knew Otule was coming back. Now that we do know Otule is coming back, I don't think Tarik Black is a fit really at all.
From a player
If
standpoint,
he's immediate for next year. If he has to sit out a year, I think Tarik Black is a great fit
Yes.
for 2 years from now.
Yes.
But I don't think that's the situation. I think he
Right.
wants to play next year.
I think the only reason you bring in someone immediate is if you decide that you need a guard.
Right.
That you don't have, and now we're going to have a lot of guards, but they're going to be youthful with the exception of, I mean, Derek Wilson's not going to be, isn't, he's going to be a junior, and Todd Mayo's going to be a junior, but there's not going to be a ton of game experience in the guard. So if you're going to bring in someone immediate, it's got to be a guard. Otherwise, it's got to be someone who's got to sit out a year.
Before we continue about this extra scholarship thing, I do want to backtrack and talk about Otule coming back. That's one of
Yes.
the that's the best news as far as the comings and goings, because that was the big question heading into the offseason, is if Otule wanted his 6 year and if he would be coming back. And the answer to that is yes. And I think that's great news for Marquette to know that he is coming back for one more year. I certainly would have understood if he was done with college, he has his degree, and if he wanted to see if he could make some kind of pro team somewhere on this earth and try to make it. I'm not saying obviously not NBA, or maybe he'd go to Europe or whatever, but the fact that he's coming back from at Marquette for one more year is great for Marquette. I think it'll be good for him if he could be healthy for another year. Granted, he would be a very old by NBA draft standards, but I think he could actually get on people's radar for playing pro either in this country or another one.
Well, just another get a second season under his belt, knock on wood, without injury.
Right.
Just kind of he had some unfortunate breaks, pardon the pun,
Yeah.
and the ACL issue. So if he can get 2 seasons under his belt, and let's be honest, the first half of this past season, he was not at the level he was at the end of the season. Now, if some of that's probably recovery, it takes a while for to recover from an ACL. So some of it's that, and some of it might be he's just progressing. And I think, and Gardner's gone on record at saying having Otule in practice has just been amazing,
Right.
to help him get better. So anything we can help the two of them get better is fantastic. And he's a great guy, by all accounts. He's a great face for the program. He's somebody I could see sticking around. He's really good on camera. He does a lot of media stuff for Marquette. So who knows? He sticks around the program. He seems to like it here. Maybe 15, 20 years from now, when Jim McElvain decides to move on to something else, maybe he becomes the new Jim
We're
McElvain
not
on the
trying to push you
radio.
out, Jim.
No, we love you, Jim, and your movie quotes. We're legacy planning. That's all.
And I do think having Otule back is so great on the court to have that offense defense substitution with Gardner, if that's the case, or try that Oxtule set, whatever it is, to have them in there together. It's Marquette's roster is complete having him next year, having a 6'10 guy who can block some shots. And he was really aggressive on the boards last year. I think he's only going to improve, and I think he'll be a big presence. Obviously, a veteran presence, as it'll be his 6 year in college. And I think there really aren't many holes in the roster next year, as far as position wise. I mean, you have a true center in Otule. You have a great scoring offensive center in Gardner. There's really just not that much missing next year.
Well, and so it gives Buzz the tools to kind of go with, because we talked about it this past season, how how buzz even within the season molded how the team worked based on who had the hot hand. I mean, using Vander driving and slashing, and then as Vander had a couple of off games and Chris and Devontae stepped up, he started feeding the post a lot more and banging inside and doing that sort of thing. So I think it just gives him, a complete tool chest to really do whatever it is he wants to do. And even with Vander gone, and it's kind of amazing to me, even with Vander gone, having Chris back, I feel like this team is still a top 15 team and could be in contention for some serious hardware at the end of next season.
I agree. And they were on a lot of way too early top 25 lists. You know, those lists that come out the day after the Final Four, way too early top 25s for next year. Almost all of them had Marquette in the top 10 before they knew Vander Blue was leaving. With Vander Blue leaving, I don't think they drop out. I think they only, as you said, I think they only drop a few spots to the 15 to 20 range, and we'll see how all these freshmen develop next
Yeah,
year. And that.
I'd almost like to see him drop out just from the standpoint of Buzz seems to thrive on the you don't believe in me.
Yeah,
And
just love the underdog role.
right, and I know Buzz would have a chip on his shoulder. Oh, yeah, you think we're just Vander? Well, watch this.
Right.
So it's not bad either way. I think with the freshmen coming in, we're going to have some growing pains early next season because with Vander gone, they're going to have to pick up some considerable minutes.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of minutes available there. Say if it's 30 minutes a game for Vander, how much of that is going to go to Todd Mayo? I guess quite a bit early
Yeah.
on. I think Juwan Johnson would take some as the season goes along. And we'll see how Dwayne Wilson fits in. Obviously, he's a point guard, and that's his strength, but he can play off the
Right.
ball. If Derek Wilson shows up next year and is just the perfect fit as a point guard, if he's, obviously he didn't score much last year, he wasn't asked to score much,
Right.
but if Derek Wilson solidifies himself as a point guard and a guy who's going to be on the floor a lot, I can see Dwayne Wilson coming in off the bench and playing off the ball a lot.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, Derek Wilson, I have cautiously optimistic hopes because there were flashes, to your point, he never was asked to score. But there was the game against Syracuse, one of the only highlights was when he, I think it was Syracuse or maybe it was Miami, but took it to the rack and easily could have laid it up and scored, but chose not to and then passed it out of there. So he's putting himself in position to be able to do something. So you're right. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces, figuring out who does what and who has the strengths for what.
Yeah, and I think the depth chart is solid even with Vander gone because you have like two or three options basically at every spot on the roster as far as who's going to start, who's going to play. Because I think Marquette's going probably three deep at point guard right now, with Derek Wilson probably at the top entering boot camp, with Dwayne Wilson fighting the start, and John Dawson is the other freshman coming in. I'm guessing he'll probably be a guy who doesn't see many minutes because not because he's not talented, but just because you can't play 13 guys.
Right. Well, well, and then in the next one, when we actually in the next podcast, when we actually preview the whole roster and who's going to do what and who we think getting what minutes, I want to talk about my idea about the monster squad in which Jameel Wilson plays the two. I've put some thought into this. I may be crazy, but yeah, like you said, it's going to be multiple positions for multiple players, and it's Buzz at the best. Well, the one thing we talked about making the podcast name, it's switchables. He's going to go back. He's got his switchables,
Right.
and we're gonna see where it takes us.
I think so. Summing it all up, what we've gone over today, yeah, we're disappointed. Vander's gone, selfishly as fans,
Yeah.
but I don't think Marquette is hurting that badly without him. I think Marquette can replace his talent depending on, again, as we've touched on, how good Todd Mayo will be next year, how good these incoming freshmen are, and the depth is solid at other positions. I think Marquette is going to be fine at point guard. Marquette is going to be solid in the middle. Again, of course, all this forbidding injuries, as long as there's
Right.
no injury situations. And I think Jameel Wilson is going to be, he's going to be the leader next year. I think he's
Right.
going to be the guy everyone looks to be kind of, well, he and Gardner really,
Oh, and Otule.
Otule. I mean those, but as far as the score, perimeter score, it's going to be Jameel Wilson. That's going to be the guy everyone looks at as a potential, all-conference player. And even with Vander gone, I think at this moment, without breaking down all the other rosters and doing too much research, I still think Marquette's probably the favorite in the new Big East.
I agree. As Otto Porter declared,
Yes,
correct?
he's going pro.
Yeah, he's gone pro, and yeah, like you said, that Georgetown's the big one. And I don't want to minimize the other teams, and we'll break down the conference in a future podcast. I don't want to minimize and throw insults out at our own new brethren that I'm gonna have to work hard to find a team I hate.
Right.
I'm gonna have to find someone to replace Louisville in my just pure
No, we can always hit Louisville.
Well, yeah, but I need someone in conference that I'm going to see.
Yeah. Something will happen inevitably. There will be a controversial call, or someone will clothesline a Marquette player and be like, all right, now we hate him.
Okay. Yeah, I look forward to that. But, yeah, I think we should – the expectations for next year, I fully believe – I think we'll struggle early in the conference, but or early in the season with the non-conference, it's going to have to be beefed up and it's going to be young at the guard position. I think we'll struggle early, but I think we should be in contention for a conference championship again and a deep run in the tournament. That's – Buzz talked about setting the bar. I think there's no reason to lower that bar at all.
Yep, I don't think so either, and we'll look forward to seeing how the team continues to evolve, you know. Obviously, the offseason is far from done as far as player movement. I mean, we could see a transfer come in the next few months. We could see, hopefully, no other guys transfer out. Right. Hopefully, knock on wood, there's no more guys planning to leave or transfer or anything. I think with the roster's pretty set, because Jamil Wilson has already said, according to Paint Touches anyway, that he's coming back for his senior year. So I don't think there's really any.
That would have been just absolutely A, devastating, and B, shocking if Jamil had declared.
Yeah, not that he's not talented enough, but I think everyone was planning on him coming back and playing a year with his cousin, because Dwayne Wilson's his cousin.
Right.
And I think they were planning on playing a year together. So I think as far as players leaving Marquette, hopefully not jinxing anything by saying this, I think we're set there.
Right.
We'll see if anyone is added in. We've already touched on Tariq Black. I mean, there are reports out there that they're looking at Drew Crawford from Northwestern. He would be a guy that would probably be kind of like Trent Lockett was to this year's team, mm-hmm. just that perimeter player who could bring a lot of experience. And, you know, if guys like Mayo and Johnson aren't producing at the two, he could probably step in there. And then there's that Chad Frazier guy who's the junior college guy. I don't know if he's still on Marquette's radar or not, but he's listed as a point guard. So if that's his only position, I'm not sure if he would be that great of a fit. But
we'd have four then.
Yeah, then, I mean, but he has listed Ms. Marquette in the mix, but I don't know how true that is. So I'm not going to waste much more time speculating on it. But for our future podcasts, we'll break down the roster as it develops, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this team looks like next year. But I do think it's going to be a competitive team, probably – certainly one of the top in the Big East, if not the best in the new Big East. And I think they'll be top 20, top 15 for sure next year.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I agree. There's no reason anything less than that would be disappointing. Right. I think we just have to hang that out there.
All right. Well, I think it's going to wrap it up for this podcast. Final thoughts, Phil?
I like the live podcasting, or the quote-unquote live podcast.
Yeah, we don't have to, like, trade files or anything after this. We can just post it up. Right. People listening don't really know the difference.
It's nearly instantaneous, but no, it's good. And it doesn't sound like one of us is in the bathroom at any given time.
Or maybe it just sounds like both of us are in the bathroom. I don't know.
We'll see. This could get awkward in a hurry.
Very awkward, yeah.
But no, it's good. I'm ready to go. I had a week off to kind of cleanse after the end of the season, and I'm ready for next season. I wish the best for Vander. I hope he really does well, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where the summer takes us and developments with the team.
As always, you can catch up with us on Twitter. You follow us on follow Crack Sidewalks on Twitter. That's where we post the podcast. Or you can follow us individually. I'm Joe McCann 3. He is Moof23. Thanks for listening to Scrambled Eggs, everybody, and we will check in again at some point in the off season. Just follow us on Twitter. We'll let you know when the podcast is going up. Until then, hope your off season is seashells and balloons. Have a good one.